Today, tenement health in an Arctic environment. It may, perhaps, seem strange that an area of the world as sparsely inhabited as the Arctic would have health problems similar to crowded urban areas of the world. But in both places, one finds overcrowding in homes and lack of proper sanitation, due both to availability of services and lack of health education. Dr. Osamu Matsutani of the Public Health Service Alaska Native Hospital at Barrow elaborates on the problem.
I've heard just from the statistical people in Anchorage, from our area office, that Barrow is growing faster than any place in the world, including China, South America, Mexico, Africa. 2 years ago, birth control was initiated in Barrow, and the population has decreased, or the number of births have decreased. This is the second year, or last year was the second year, and again, the population is beginning to increase again. I guess after 2 years, people decided they want to have babies again. One of the major reasons why we have so many infectious diseases is that because of the crowded conditions in the houses, it's not unusual to have 15 people living in one house and one wooden bedroom place. And if one person gets a cold, undoubtedly everybody else will get a cold too. This is undoubtedly the way that tuberculosis was spread, and only because of an outside influence into the environment was it controlled. Much of this also with the URIs and with the bronchitis and the other infectious diseases, and also VD, probably the population population density probably is a reason for the incidence of the type of disease that we have.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Let's see, I have 5 brothers, 3 sisters.
Can you count your cousins?
No, too many.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
7.
7. How many cousins do you have?
I don't know.
A lot of cousins?
Yep. And how many children do you have?
Oh, I have 5 boys and 3 girls.
Alice Niekoch, family planning aide, was asked,
how large is the average family in Barrow, would you say?
Well, most one, I think, is one family is 17.
17 in the family. Children?
Yeah, 17 children. So usually they, Barrow people like to have a big family. Mostly around about 8, 10, I think it's a big family up here.
House type varies considerably in Barrow Village, from remnants of the Aboriginal sod house to modern farmers' home administration-financed dwellings, made possible with the advent of natural gas from a nearby well leased from the Navy.
The town is grown. I mean, we came up with the FHAs, the Farm Home Administrating Housing, and you've got lots of new houses have gone up there. A better standard of living. They're larger. I mean, you've got more square footage there, and you got less families per house. This really, and I already noticed the big growth was the advent of natural gas. When we got the natural gas down here, people could have bigger houses. You could afford to heat them. It was cheaper. You didn't have the we didn't have the fires, the deaths up in here that we had in the past. That's since I've been here, probably 25 people have burned to death from oil fires.
I'd like to say something about changes that we experience due to many conveniences that we have now. For example, just This year we experienced the power failure due to gas explosion. And this really affect our town. In the past, we would have just shrug it off because our life consists of blubber as a fuel and driftwoods and coal or whatnot. But this year, we realized that we have been already inside something that we just can't get out of. It's the gas, natural gas, due to explosion. We experienced that some of us were almost panic. Boy, that makes me realize that how things change so fast for us. It makes me feel that this is not an Eskimo life anymore. And we who are adults now, are older than our youngsters, know the Eskimo way of life. And it's simple. But today, our children hardly know what ordinary coal stove or a wood stove looks like. How will they act if they're left alone in an Eskimo land without the conveniences that we now have? The changes we seem to be so far behind because of changes. We just don't seem to catch up to them fast enough.
Although technology has brought natural gas and electricity to most homes, there is still a lack of any sanitation facilities for waste and water.
Sanitation is another problem here in Barrow. There is no running water, and there is no any kind of sewage facilities. Or the majority of the dwellings that we have here, the only places that have water and sewage are the hospital and the school, and those complexes that are associated with them. Sanitation probably has a major is a major factor in a lot of the diarrheal diseases that you get in the children. And if you can go out in the summertime, you can see the puddles of water that are turning green. Most likely, a lot of this is fecal contamination. Honey buckets are not disposed of correctly. People just don't know. Just have no concept yet of sanitary measures.
How do the people in town get most of their water?
The water that the village here gets is probably through skidoos and by means of buying it from the supplier. We got only one supplier that's running now, with a truck that hauls ice cubes. And they're about $1.25 a cake, I guess it is. And this is provided that the road going up to the freshwater lake is open at all times. Right now, I think it's closed up, and therefore, just about everybody have to utilize their own skidoos to get ice from the ocean. Is no, probably about 50% of it is from the ocean now. You have to look all over, more or less, to get the ice that's not solid. Mm-hmm. You have to know exactly what type to get, otherwise it's no good. Quite a few of the people still to use snow, but a large percentage of them are using snow for washing. Purposes only. This is what we use at my place. I use ice for drinking, but in order to use it, we have to boil it up. Since that ice that I got, this ice from that fresh water lake, it's contaminated now. So, in order to use that, you have to boil it.
How do you go get some ice?
What'd you do with the ice?
Take it home. It's fresh water.
Do you look for ice out on the sea?
No? No.
How do you get your water?
Huh?
How do you get your water?
From me. Somebody. That they sell ice. Somebody sell ice.
We buy him from someone who's, you know, work. He's getting ice, earning money.
Is it good water?
Yeah.
How do you get your water?
Ice. From ice.
Do you get it yourself or buy
it? We go get some.
Where do you get it from?
From the ocean. Fresh ice. Glacier ice.
How far do you go to get your ice?
About half a mile.
How do you cut the ice off?
With an axe.
The community, if you're not familiar with it, if you haven't been here, is scattered out over about 3 square miles along the Arctic Ocean. It's divided by a lagoon into two separate areas, a main downtown area called Barrow, and a residential subdivision called Browerville. Because of the size of the community and because of the irregular development of the area in the downtown business district, it's difficult to plan for any kind of comprehensive water and sewer package to take into account the businesses and the housing in this area. The cold climate makes for additional costs involved in planning for the any kind of water and sewer program. But such a program is needed. The present system of relying upon hauled ice or hauled water and removal of garbage and human waste in 55-gallon drums is inadequate in a town as large as Barrow. And water and sewer would make life a little bit easier for the people and would have a bearing on controlling any kind of diseases or outbreaks that might arise in the community because of the present conditions.
The hospital is trying to get a full-time sanitarian on the staff. Presently, we share a sanitarian with Fairbanks, Tanana, and Barrow, and the fellow just doesn't have enough time to cover all this. Mainly, it's a matter of education, and education takes a long time, and it has to be done in the right way for the people to accept it.
You have been listening to Tenement Health in an Arctic Environment, the first of two programs on community health in Barrow, Alaska's largest Eskimo community and northernmost city. Barrow Today was written and produced by Roger and Karen McPherson with the support of the Alaska Rural Schools Project, Department of Education, and KUAC-FM of the University of Alaska. The voices you have heard were those of Dr. Osamu Matsutani, teenagers, Catherine Tuxfield, Alice Neacock, Al Shantz, Samuel Simmons, Nelson Avakana, and Jack Chenoweth, and the music was performed by Pete Suvalik's dance group. This is your announcer, Jeff Kennedy. Join us next week on Barrow Today for Candy and Quack. Barrow Today, Candy and Quark.
What kind of food do you like to eat?
Anything.
What kind of food do you like?
What? I like candied apples.
Hey, the hut's open. I better go have some Coke.
What's your favorite meal,
though? Meal?
T-bone steak.
Oh. J hamburger. Coke, mostly.
What do you like best?
Caribou soup.
Yeah, we just had, something like caribou soup at 4 o'clock. Hot soup.
What do you have today?
Huh?
Have you had anything to eat today?
No.
Nothing? What are you
going to
have tonight?
Caribou soup.
In former times, the food eaten by people of Barrow was determined by the availability of the game they hunted. Now, with the establishment of local stores and jet transportation, many previously unobtainable foods are imported and introduced into the native diet with varying degrees of acceptance. Some teenagers voice a preference for the hamburgers and Cokes of the Anglo society of the lower 48 states, while others still prefer more traditional foods of the northern Eskimo diet, such as frozen meat and caribou soup. The choice one makes may significantly affect general physical health in the northern climate, and especially dental health.
I'm Dr. Dwight Buller. I'm the dentist at the Barrow Hospital.
Could you describe some of the oral health problems that you find here?
I'd say the main oral health, oral health problems in Barrow are typical of any community you would find. They would center essentially around dental caries or decay, and also periodontal disease, which is a long word for a disease of the tissues which support the teeth, namely the gums and the bone around the roots of the teeth. And these conditions are, although they're typical of those found any place, the thing that distinguishes them from many other populations is the degree which they're seen within each individual, and also the incidence that they're seen within the community itself. So we have a community exhibiting routine dental problems, but to a much greater degree than would be seen in a normal population.
To what do you attribute this?
Number one, I would have to say introduction of the white man's ways into white man's food, for example, into the native culture, which then takes us into cultural differences within which we can find differences in feelings as to what is actually important. For example, if a value isn't placed on a specific portion of a person's health, for example, that part of their health, let's say their total health, will not be watched after by them as carefully as others. And we find that in many, many cases, just due to difference in culture and lack of education toward dental health specifically, the people are not as interested in it. They don't really value dental health. They don't value their teeth as highly as many other people would or do.
Have you noticed many changes in the kinds of things you've been stocking, the kinds of foods that you've been getting in?
Oh, yes. I think that frozen foods and things have gone well. Like pizzas, they'll go good. Actually, 8 or 7 or 8, 9 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, when I had another store with a friend of mine, it seemed like it was a custom, possibly at nighttime after the movie or because we're open late hours here, that people would stop by and they'd get some sweet rolls and maybe a can of fruit, you know, and go home and make a pot of tea and have a little snack. Now I see the pre-fried chicken, the heat and eat chicken, the pizzas, and even some of the younger fellows are going for the frozen pastrami sandwiches and beef and hamburger. We brought in frozen blueberries, which, you know, were big demand. People like berries up here tremendously, and they were never available on a 12-month basis here. We go through a lot of ice cream. We've brought in and maintained the fresh milk and cottage cheese. And
how do you get food in the morning?
There's always a breakfast bar, yeah.
Where?
School, junior high.
Yeah? What do they feed you for breakfast?
Donut and tang.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
Do you think it's good to have breakfast in the morning like that?
Yeah.
Can you get it at home if you want it?
Yeah, no. If I want to.
Yeah. Do you have lunch?
Yeah, school.
At school?
Yeah.
Is it good lunch?
Yeah, they have good lunch.
Hot lunch.
Hot lunches.
Yeah, hot lunch every day.
Where do you have dinner?
Home.
Home.
Is it the same kind of food you have at school?
Sometimes. No. Sometimes.
What's the difference?
Raw meat, sometimes. Kibble.
Do you think they should have that at school sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
What kinds of things do you like to eat, Johnny?
Oh, I just love to eat quark. That's frozen meat with misrak, sea lawyer. I like it very much with lots of salt and misrak. And right after eating that quark, I like rice with raisins in it and put milk in it and have some tea right after that. Oh, that's really, you know, gets you full. Most of the time I like to eat soup, caribou soup. It's and all kinds. I like to eat all kinds, you know.
Do you like things like hamburgers and things like that too?
Oh, not really. Only when they're medium rare, yeah. I don't really care for that. Only chicken. That's all.
On a diet with relatively high consumption of refined carbohydrates, you'll the older segment of the population, let's say from 30 years of age on, will begin to develop periodontal disease.
You mentioned that you thought that nutrition, especially the introduction of, say, imported foods from the lower 48, was a definite factor in the dental problems. Could you comment on that?
As an example, for the population we have in Barrow, I know specifically that one store in town will sell over 350 cases of Coca-Cola a week. And if we narrow this down as to who's drinking that Coke, it's mainly the children. And also many of the adults are drinking it as well. And this seems to be extremely high consumption of Coke specifically, and there are many other foods just as much. If we take a look at why they're drinking the Coke, we'll find it's related to their water supply. Well, there's no community water supply in Barrow. Water is at a premium. It's trucked in or it's melted from ice on the ocean. And if this Coke is a beautiful substitute for water, and this is one of the reasons. The same with a lot of the foods. They taste good. The kids like them, and they eat them just like kids would any place. And without the cultural value on teeth, and without an instilled message from parents constantly to brush their teeth, the situation just progresses.
I noticed among the little kids there's quite a demand in certain foods too. Could you comment on those?
Well, I think you're referring to candy. That there's a tremendous amount of candy eaten up in here, and a lot of Coca-Cola drank. There's thirst too, with melting the ice and all that. I mean, like canned soda pop. It was real well, but I noticed that the children, I mean the little cupcakes and things that weren't available before, the dried meats, beef jerky, and, a little quick snack, cookies and things like that.
While local storekeepers may stock items quick to fix, though low in nutritive value, Many older village residents prefer a diet of foods locally available from the tundra and from the sea. For some people, because it makes them feel better, and for others, due to sometimes prohibitively high price of purchased white man's food.
We always eat quark with frozen. Sometimes we cook in boiling. We always do that way. That my wife, they always cooking that way. Sometimes we hurry. We use quark fish that way. And my wife, they always boiling that all kind of meat we want to eat.
You like it with seal oil better?
Yeah, we always use every eat, we use seal oil and some blubber, the whale blubber.
What are your favorite foods?
Oh, we like any kind of food.
What's your favorite thing to eat?
Fish. No, I hate oil. And when I don't eat anything, the fish makes me feel alive, you know?
Fish makes you feel good?
Mm-hmm.
You like it frozen or cooked?
Yeah, frozen.
I like to eat ducks, fish, all kind. Ugruk, the peter seal, that kind we like to eat. Yeah, because our food here, we like to eat. We like white people food. We always buy. That's all, because we got not much money. Yeah, that was trouble. Some of the white people food is too high.
I can't lift a gerbo alone. And I can't lift my seafood alone either. I'm adapted to the other way of living also.
What about your children?
My children, they're adapted to hard way of living more or less. They know they could eat just about anything. When I grew up, I had nothing but caribou and seal and whatnot. I didn't know nothing about steaks. The only time that I learned about steak and eating steaks and everything of this type, chicken and whatnot, is when I went down for high school.
The improvement that we will see, both for dental health and total health of the individuals here, is going to be through education and placing a value on health and educating the people to place a value on it, and whether they adapt all of our specific customs that we're used to cope with the health problems they have isn't the matter of importance. It's whether they may develop their own methods of coping with a situation and handling it, possibly eventually by themselves, and finding methods of educating one another.
You have been listening to Candy and Quack, the second of two programs on community health in Barrow, Alaska's largest Eskimo community and northernmost city. Barrow Today was written and produced by Roger and Karen McPherson with the support of the Alaska Rural Schools Project, Department of Education, and KUAC-FM of the University of Alaska. The voices you have heard were those of teenagers Dr. Dwight Buller, Al Shantz, Willie Silock, Catherine Tuckfield, and Nelson Alakana, and the music was performed by Pete Suvalik of Sandstream. This is your announcer, Jeff Kennedy. Join us next week on Barrow Today for a program on Religion in Barrow, Christianity in an Eskimo World.